10, chapter 82, Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Section 40. Bhagavan Sattva Bhuta
Bhagavan Sattva Bhuta
Vivekta Bhuta Santa
Vivekta Bhuta Santa
Ashrishya Ashrishya Namayam Krishna
Ashrishya Namayam Krishna
Rakshan Hidamakari
Rakshan Hidamakari
Bhagavan
they had King Krishna, and through their eyes they had allowed Krishna to enter within their hearts, and they were embracing him in a trance. And as Srila Prabhupada points out in the Krishna book, it's not possible actually to understand how much the yogis missed Krishna. They were so much in a trance that they actually forgot themselves. They were, their trance of ecstasy was described in the previous verse. The trance, steady trance of ecstasy, embracing Krishna in their hearts, having seen him, cannot be even imagined by great yogis who meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. So we can just imagine that great yogis, they completely shut down their external senses and the mind from everything within this material world. Therefore, they're able to endure extreme conditions in the material world without being disturbed in the slightest. Some yogis, you'll see them in the great heat of summer, they will sit within a ring of fire, scorching hot. People could not bear for a few minutes. They will just sit there, stay up to date in these conditions. They will go to the Himalayas, where it's freezing cold conditions, and they will take bath, they will be there and perhaps just their coconuts and some ash, and they'll live very, very austere life. But because they're able to shut down due to their meditation, the ability to fix your mind in meditation, they can remain undisturbed. They can be up there in the Himalayas and the caves there. There can be blizzards and storms, all sorts of things, and they will just sit there fixed in meditation. It's very, extremely difficult to do. We know that if we try to tolerate just even a little bit of disturbance, sometimes in the course of the day, someone may look at us the wrong way, or someone may say something that doesn't agree with us. We may stub our toe, or we didn't get the, by the time we sat down, someone had eaten our milk soups. And we can become disturbed. Just a little something. We lose a couple of dollars. We get a little hole in our sari or in our shirt, something, and become disturbed and agitated. Or we see the objects of the senses come in contact with the opposite sex. These various things. And merely the mind is just completely disturbed and agitated. But the yogis, they're not like that. They actually just close down everything, and they're able to be completely undisturbed. There's something that cannot be imitated. But those yogis who can tolerate all these extreme conditions and sit in samadhi, they cannot even imagine the intensity and the fixity of the yogi's meditation upon Krishna. That's something that is even beyond this. It is inconceivable to them, the intensity of the trance of the yogis on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the yogis actually fix their mind on Krishna after seeing him, they become so absorbed that they actually completely forgot their existence. I forgot their existence so much, or meditating on Krishna so much, that they actually identify themselves as being Krishna. They're so absorbed in Krishna that they lose so much consciousness of themselves that they actually think, I am Krishna. It's like a transcendental state of ecstasy, which is borders on transcendental madness. Well, it is transcendental madness. They unmada when, because of the gopis' mood of separation, it builds and builds and builds, and the intensity of the meditation is still fixed on Krishna. And then, you know, just seeing Krishna, just that, just before actually being able to be with him, that intensity builds up to a point where they just go into this complete state. They have no conception at all that they even exist. And there are three different levels of that state of mahabhava, or transcendental ecstasy, the gopis go into. One is that state where they completely identify practically with Krishna. And on that state, you see sometimes the gopis will then enact the pastimes of Krishna. So they, you know, one of them will enact various pastimes, and others will join in. The medium stage of that transcendental ecstasy is where there's a little bit of awareness of oneself, and while one is enacting. Actually, even Prahlada Maharaj exhibits this. Sometimes Prahlada Maharaj, when he's meditating on Krishna, he also has that sense. He becomes so fixed in the trance on Krishna that he also forgets his existence. There's a little bit of self-awareness there. And then sometimes in that the lighter stage of that deep, intense trance of unmada, transcendental madness, is where you see the gopis then, they have some awareness and they're wandering through the forest asking, you know, Radharani will be, you know, chastising the clouds and talking to the trees and talking to the bumblebees, you know, have you seen Krishna? This is a transcendental state of ecstasy. So, the gopis, that is their love. It's something, of course, that we don't experience that in the loving relationships in this world. In fact, what to speak of such intense meditation on God that one completely forgets one's existence. A meditation in love, ecstatic love. For us, we have difficulty just acknowledging that God even exists. That is, for many of us in this world, that is our position, just, you know, trying to acknowledge that God exists. And then if there's some acknowledgement that yes, I can somehow through my intelligence, through some faith in the Shastras, faith in the Sadhus, I can acknowledge that there is God, but I'm not happy about that, because I'm trying to compete with God. I am trying to be the enjoyer of this world, but if I acknowledge the existence of God, I have to acknowledge that actually this world belongs to Him, and He is the enjoyer of this world, and I am actually His servant. So sometimes, even acknowledging God, there is difficulty in acknowledging. We can acknowledge that God exists, but acknowledging that He is the supreme proprietor and the supreme enjoyer of all things, that is also very, very difficult to do. But then if anyone acknowledges that, then to actually put that into practice in one's daily life, these things are very difficult and very, very rare. So, grasping this world, that is our position. What you see, you know, this position, the gopis, where they are moment by moment always fixed in a trance of ecstatic love, that they cannot forget the Lord even for a moment. So, the gopis, they're in this trance. They've seen Krishna, and Krishna's seen them. And then, so Krishna goes over, he manages to get away from Mahasa and the other ladies, and he finds a secluded place and begins talking with the gopis. And he embraces them, each and every one, Krishna, because he is the Supreme Lord. He expands himself so that he can actually embrace each and every one of them. First of all, he embraces them within their meditation. So within their hearts, they're meditating upon Krishna, embracing him within their hearts, and he is within their hearts, embracing them in return. And then also externally, he is also embracing them and bringing them out of this trance, and there he is standing before them. And then he laughs in order to lighten the mood. So, old friends meeting. So then Krishna begins to speak. So of course, the gopis, they have they gave up everything for Krishna. They abandoned all the various goals within this material world that everyone else is searching for. They abandoned that for Krishna. And then Krishna left. And they were left to cry for the rest of their lives in this mood of separation, which is difficult for us to understand also in the material world, because all the emotions that are felt in the spiritual platform are sources of ecstasy. When we think of separation in the material platform, it is a cause of suffering, it is a cause of misery. But separation on the spiritual platform increases the intensity of the loving exchange with God, and that intensity of love has a special flavour, ecstatic flavour of bliss. It's a particular very, very sweet. It is considered to be the most sweet, most tasty form of love. As you know, love comes in different varieties. If ice cream can come in different varieties, then love can also come in different varieties. Just as, you know, you might taste ice cream and you taste one and you think, well, that is very nice, but when I taste this one, oh, that is but my favourite is this one. So love also comes in various varieties. Of course, again, in this world we have no idea about the different varieties of love, because we don't know love. We know that lust, sense gratification, my personal desires being fulfilled, my senses are being gratified. We know those feelings, and we confuse that for love. But we don't really know love. We have, there's a vague idea of it, but we don't really taste it. But actually, love can be tasted in various varieties. And this most sweetest, most intense, most delicious is when that love in separation is experienced. So, Krishna, because the gopis are so dear to him, they are allowed to taste this very sweet nectar of love in separation. And therefore, the arrangements that are made by the spiritual energy between Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead, the gopis, his internal pleasure potency, are there to increase the different flavours of love and to give unlimited variety in the exchange of the love. So, Krishna is saying to them, do you still think of me? Because I left you in the state crying. You must think, perhaps you're not interested in me anymore, perhaps you're upset with me, perhaps you're angry at me. Of course, the gopis are angry at him. And this anger is another form of love. Sometimes between lovers, there is what they call a love light. And that is experienced as more relishable sometimes than kissing. So this anger of the gopis is an exchange of love. It's not the anger that we have in the material world where we become frustrated because our sense gratification wasn't fulfilled. It is an anger to so that everyone can enjoy the loving exchange in various different tastes. Just like when you're eating a meal, you take something bitter. Lord Chaitanya also, one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, she would always make Lord Chaitanya this very bitter preparation. So you would think, what sort of devotee is that? They're cooking something for the Lord and making it bitter. But the Lord enjoyed that bitter taste. Bitter is something that we don't have a lot in the Western culture, but in other parts of the world, bitter is a very wonderful part. Usually eaten at the beginning of a meal, and that bitter food increases your appetite. And it makes, therefore, because it increases your appetite, it actually makes everything else you eat more relishable as well. So, in the same way, the gopis are angry. But this helps to make the other exchanges, that means the exchange of anger is very relishable, and the other exchanges also become very relishable. But they're hiding, the gopis. In these next conversation, in these verses here, up to text 48, which finishes this chapter, so about the next eight verses. Krishna, in speaking with the gopis, begins to instruct them in jnana, or knowledge, transcendental knowledge, how they can, that he, in a sense, he's toying with them, saying that you should give up these feelings of separation, because philosophically we can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am situated everywhere through my different energies, which is actually a fact. Everything we see in this world actually is a combination of different energies. The material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, all these different elements are different material energies. And then there is the spirit soul, there's the spiritual particle there, encased within material bodies, and there's a super soul also situated in the heart of everything energy. So these various energies and manifestations of the Lord's material and spiritual energy are there. In that way, nothing is actually separated from Krishna. And at the same time, because Krishna's reality pervades everything, then everything at the same time is within God. So there's no question of separation. So the question is, shame, I guess he's speaking of, which is sort of like, he begins to speak like this. Which is sort of like, you can imagine, say, if you're a husband and wife, even a father and the children, a mother and the children, and perhaps there's been some separation, perhaps the father has been away on a business trip, and then after so many months he comes back home. And the children, they're very eager, they want to jump on the father and hug him and tell him everything they've done and ask him what he's done and play and so many things. But he sits there and he will give some philosophy. How they should, control their senses and, in one sense, we were not really separated because, the different elements are all connected. The earth, water, fire, air and ether lives in my body also. Certain emulating throughout the universe in your body, somehow or another. So you can imagine, that's not what they want. What are you doing, Dad? What are you doing, man? It's like toying. So the question is like this, and the gopis, of course, they realized that, they heard this sort of thing before, and obviously Krishna's not going to change his ways, that's just the way he is. Once before, when Krishna played his flute and they left their relatives and children in the dead of night and went running into the forest to be with Krishna, and he began to teach them, "Oh, let me teach you about the principles of religion. You've come out here to enjoy with me. I should teach you about religious principles. You should, how you should look after your husbands and your children in this way." And then also, after Krishna had actually left, he sent Uddhava to bring Dharma to do something similar, to speak to them some philosophy. Again, they were suffering so much separation. And he sent Uddhava to speak some philosophy, very similar philosophy. So that, here again they've met Krishna and thinking, we know this one. We've seen this before. So but at this stage the gopis, their anger is hidden. Krishna can understand. And he's actually enjoying that. Seeing their loving exchanges play out in this mood of concealed anger. And he can also see that under that concealed anger there is intense longing, burning fire, lusty desire of the gopis. Not lusty in the sense that let us enjoy, but lust in the sense of such a powerful desire that, Krishna, you please come back to Vrindavan with us and let us serve you and offer you love in so many different varieties of ways like that. Intense lust in that sense, nothing material, not even a pinch. So they offer prayer. And actually the last prayer that's offered in this section is a prayer that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would meditate upon this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam where the gopis are pleading with Krishna, "Can you please come back to Vrindavan?" Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in after he took sannyas, for the last 20 years of his life, the devotees from all over, they would come to Jagannath Puri and they would enjoy the Rath Yatra festival with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. after this. And for the last 12 years in particular, Lord Chaitanya was completely absorbed in this transcendental ecstasy of madness, as we described, where just completely his existence just immersed in such intense feelings of love for God that, you know, he would sometimes be seen talking like a madman, you know, rubbing his head on the stone, diving into the water, in the ocean, and having to be dragged, you know, just in complete state of ecstasy. But he was absorbed in this mood, the same mood that the gopis are in. Lord Chaitanya actually is a combined form of Radha Krishna. But he is in the mood of Radharani. And Radharani's mood is that of separation, intense separation from Krishna. So that is Lord Chaitanya's mood. He's in that mood of Radharani, intense separation. And Lord Jagannath, so Lord Chaitanya, that is Krishna, when he's in the mood of separation from Krishna. He's in Radharani. Jagannath is Krishna when he's in the mood of separation from Radharani. So, whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always experiencing this deep, deep ecstasy, intense mood of separation. But when he would see the deity of Lord Jagannath, or when he would see Lord Jagannath on the Rath Yatra cart, his mind would be brought to this scene. And he would feel that he was here in Kurukshetra seeing Krishna. And that he, you know, and the Rath Yatra festival is actually an emotional procedure, a spiritual emotional procedure of imploring the Lord to come back to Vrindavan. That is the essence of the Rath Yatra festival. So Lord Chaitanya, whenever he would see Lord Jagannath, he would sing a verse. That, you know, now I have seen the Lord of my life, all my burning, lusty desires have been fulfilled. And then he would quote another verse, which it was saying that, you know, here I am with the with this attractive, you know, young boy. And there are these beautiful scents blowing, and, you know, beautiful breezes carrying the aroma of various flowers, beautiful moonlit night. I want to take this beautiful boy with me to the banks of the particular, he gave a particular name of the river, and under a particular tree. So it was sort of, without mentioning the name of Krishna or Radharani or Jamuna, but actually not many people, except the Sri Damodar, who was actually the incarnation of Lalita, no one could really understand what Lord Chaitanya was saying when he was quoting his verse. But one day, when Rupa Goswami was there, he actually spoke this verse, and Rupa Goswami happened to hear it. And Rupa Goswami, he wrote down a verse which explained the meaning of this verse. He wrote it on a leaf. He stuck it on his thatched roof cottage, and then he went to take bath. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day after he would see the Lord Jagannath, he would then go and visit Sanatan, Rupa, and Harivansh Thakur, because they weren't allowed in the Jagannath temple because they had association with Muslims. And they were considered non-Brahmins. But the Lord Chaitanya was Jagannath himself, he would come to see them. So when he got to Rupa Goswami's hut, he saw this leaf and he saw this verse, and he was in ecstasy. And then when Rupa Goswami came back, he offered his obeisances, and Lord Chaitanya slapped him and picked him up and sat him on his lap and embraced him. How did you know? How did you know that, you know, no one knows this confidential thoughts that I'm having, but you understood. And he actually blessed Rupa Goswami there and then that he would have the ability to understand the most confidential purpose of the Lord and to preach that cult of bhakti all over the world. And actually Srila Prabhupada, in that story, he explained that he had a similar experience, that he wrote down a poem glorifying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, which he gave to him on his appearance day. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta loved that poem so much, and he considered that Srila Prabhupada had understood the essential mood and mission of his guru. And whenever his close associates or intimate disciples would come, he would show them Prabhupada's verse, his beautiful poem, glorification of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, explaining how he was preaching the mission of Lord Chaitanya and the silliness and personalism and Buddhism, voyeurism that was spreading throughout the world. So, Rupa Goswami, later he wrote a book, and in that book he explained these verses. And one of his verses explains that he puts more detail into that verse of Lord Chaitanya, saying that, here is Krishna, and I am the same Srimati Radharani, and here is the same moonlit night of autumn, here are the same beautiful flowers, but I'm not happy here, I want to take the Lord back with me to Vrindavan. So this is the mood of the yogis, Srimati Radharani. So when they met Krishna here in Kurukshetra, they just wanted to, it wasn't a suitable atmosphere for the intimate, loving exchanges, confidential, very, very sweet, loving exchanges that they wanted to bestow upon the Lord for his pleasure. And, there were so many, royal agents, armies, so many tents, so much opulence and everything like that. And it was completely, you can imagine that, when people in this world, they have some small sense, when they want to be romantic, they try to go to some tropical beach or some tropical island or something like that. But of course they cannot imagine Vrindavan, which doesn't have the tourist resorts and doesn't have any of that. It is the original resort. The mood of Vrindavan is very, very special because it is so sweet that it is a perfect setting for intimate, confidential, sweet, intense, loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Very, very sweet. Other places also have different arrangements for loving exchanges, but none so sweet as that is in Vrindavan. And that is the supreme Lord. And sometimes people, wonder, what sort of heaven will God make? What sort of, what does God do at, when he's at home in heaven? That's what he does. He has created Vrindavan Dham. He has created an abode that is the most superb, perfect place which enhances loving relationships of the most sweetest kind. And there, in Vrindavan, he enacts those wonderful pastimes with his devotees. And so the gopis, they are wanting to take Krishna back to that place. And so this is, that's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are the eternal spiritual relationships between the Supreme Lord Krishna and his associates. This is the nectar that we have inherited from the Acharyas, from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't have to experience this dry philosophizing. We quite often, do become very much engaged in philosophy, preaching, shastra. That is to help other people, become the Krishna consciousness, and it's also to help convince us to remove any doubts that we may have and what have you. But it's not the goal of our life to be philosophers, gyanis. Nor is it the goal of our life to be practicing austerity, nor is it the goal of our life to be enjoying the material world. Actually, the goal of our life is to somehow make every moment that we have within this world another opportunity to taste those sweet, loving exchanges that are possible between Krishna and his devotees. That's what Lord Chaitanya, if we want to be a devotee, we have to look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how to be a devotee. What was he doing? He wasn't just, this dry devotee. He was just immersed night and day in this devotional service with these loving exchanges. And that is the opportunity that we have. So, when we perform our devotional service, we should aspire to that very wonderful level of devotional service. Actually, one time with Bhaktivedanta Babaji, who was a great Advaita Vaishnava around about the time of Jagannath Das Babaji and Guru Kishore Das Babaji. One time when he was in Jagannath Puri, some devotees came, the disciples, sannyasis and brahmacharis of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and they were playing Madanda and having big, big kirtan. And he quoted this verse that the Madanda is breaking, but your heart is not breaking. So we have to be careful that we are not guilty of the same thing. And just everything external. A wonderful opportunity, especially coming up to this time of the year, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should, really enrich ourselves with what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. You won't find this in any church. You go to the churches around the world, you go to the mosques, you will not find the rich, sweet, loving, exchanges that are there with the devotees and Supreme Personality of Godhead is a very unique and the highest opportunity available, not found anywhere else. Can't even be imagined. Even when you discuss these subjects with people who are religious or spiritual, they look at you as if you're crazy. They have no idea what you're talking about. But we have this opportunity, and therefore we should take it, grab hold of it, and just completely forget about it. Oh, we'll be sure to follow.